Well, hello and welcome to After Hours with Amanda. Y'all, it's been a couple weeks. It's been a couple weeks, but I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Let's get professional for a half a second here. Hi, welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that's about parenting, but not just for parents and not totally just about parenting, because we cover all the ish. And I would love to say I was on a podcast this last week and it was so cool. We had commercial breaks, we had intro music, and I was about it. So that was a joy. When will that come to After Hours with Amanda? Well, y'all, I just don't know, because if you have followed me long enough and you are an After Hours OG, which a lot of you are, or if you are new, you know that I live life and content exactly as it comes. And does that make for some issues with consistency? It can. I'm going to open up my kombucha real quick. And I talked about this on Insta. If you all have not tried this Rowdy Mermaid kombucha I discovered a few weeks ago, do yourself a favor. I swear. You know when you like shop at Whole Foods and you feel kind of fancy? And it's not that I shop there often. But because you know the joke, whole paycheck. Anyways, but this kombucha, I just feel just fancy. I feel like, is it just me? Am I going to the beach later? Who am I? Who am I right now? Do you guys follow It's Me Tanks? Okay, so I feel like this kombucha is like rich mom kombucha, even though I'm very far from that. But anyways, here's the thing. I shared on TikTok and Instagram that I have been riding the ocean waves of emotions that are this last year, right? And I think that it is a fair assessment to say that if you're feeling a little worse or a little more high tide in this moment, you are not alone. Reason being, a week ago last year, we didn't know what was going to happen. Everything was new and it felt like there were these, you know, oh, it's going to end here. And now here we are a year later and you know, thank God things are looking up and opening up, but it's a lot. And I'm not going to ever pretend that mental health isn't something that is not talked about at all and deserves a lot less stigma. I myself am looking to go back into therapy and I love therapy. I think it's the best. I think that when you go through different seasons, you might just need that extra little help. So for me, I've been feeling like maybe I have some unresolved trauma that I need to kind of just like get in there and you know, clean out the wound. And so I'm going to look into that. And I'm going to, of course, take you along with me because I refuse to let anyone think going to therapy is some taboo thing like we're living in 1950. Okay. Cause that's not how it is. Although I did live for the like adorable outfits of 1950 and you know, the jewelry era of gifts kind of vibe. Anyways. So I know we were going to do a dating podcast episode. And I do want to talk about dating, but I have a lot of things I want to say about dating. And I think I want to bring Blake onto the episode for it. So if you're waiting for that dating episode, don't go very far. I might just talk to him about it because he's so swamped right now and just get some like advice or just some of his feedback on it. But within the next month, you're definitely going to be getting a dating episode because it is something you guys have been asking for forever for. And I think that that's an important topic. I will just touch on this. When we talk about dating, the first thing we're going to talk about is before you even get to dating, the prequel to dating, which will be boundary setting. And if you want to prepare for that podcast episode where I will be referencing this book, the book is called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. And when I tell you this book changed my life, I cannot express to you the original. Now, they've come out with other versions, Boundaries in Dating, Boundaries in Marriage, you know, all that stuff. Boundaries, the original OG book, is where it's at. It changed my life in college. It taught me so many things that are important. And building boundaries is actually something really healthy to do for yourself before you're looking to get into a relationship, because the first person you should be setting boundaries with is yourself. And when I say yourself, I don't mean for other people. I mean setting boundaries with yourself when it comes to yourself, how you're going to allow yourself to treat yourself, how you're going to talk to yourself, because all of that is going to be the outflow and outpouring of what you will do in relationship. I mean, we all know, do I have any college degree on this? No, my degree is in communications, interpersonal, organizational. It's a 4-year bachelor's of arts. I don't have a doctorate. I'm not a therapist. I am just a human being who has some things she wants to share with you. And I feel as though they need to be shared. And since I don't think very many of us is talking about it, I just want to be a voice and an advocate for it. So who am I? I am no one profesh, but I have life experience I'm willing to share. and I hope it enriches you. Today, though, y'all, besides this delicious kombucha and the fact I actually have coffee and water sitting next to me because I'm a drink whore. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I love all things liquid, and I think we should just applaud the fact that I have water here. So I know some of y'all might be working on homework. I know some of y'all might be on a walk with your pup, doing, you know, whatever have you, killing time on laundry. Maybe you have your own pile of Eduardo. So whatever it is, I want to talk today about a hot topic I made a TikTok about this week, and I want to talk to you about it. It's spanking. We're just going to pause. I'm going to let that sink in. It's spanking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was this video, and there's several videos that I get tagged in with this. And can I just be honest with y'all? The reason I don't respond to those videos is I just find it to be problematic. Because when it comes to parenting, and I will say this, everyone is different. They are literally looking through the lens of their experience, and that impacts how they parent. That impacts how you do that. So I'm not going to stand in judgment of anyone. But what I am going to do is share my opinion on this subject. This is in no way a shame episode. This is in no way a you're doing it wrong episode. This is just me coming from a kid who was raised and spanked and turned out quote unquote fine. Of course, what are we defining fine as? Who loves their parents, had incredible relationships, you know, with different issues over, but overall had a healthy relationship. Okay. I want to talk to you about why I think that there are better options for you than spanking. And I know that that might feel like very controversial. I already have seen some of the comments where people are like, well, no, there is a time when someone needs to be swatted, or, oh, if it's danger, or if it's, but I just want to invite you to have an open mind, because I changed my opinion on this. Do a little background. Let's dive into 80s and 90s Amanda. She is a child of that classic era that everyone is. Don't talk back. If you don't listen, you're going to get, you know, I had a belt. I got spanked with a belt. I got spanked with a spoon, and I got spanked with a hand. Now, people want to say, well, you weren't beat. No, I was not beat. Thank God I was not physically abused daily. Was I hit? Yes. Was that the intent to teach me something? Yes, that was what my parents, that was their motivation, okay? They did not want to quote unquote hurt me, but they felt that by swatting or spanking or however you want to define it, it would get the desired behavior reaction they were looking for, okay? Now, do I have like some deep-seated anger towards them about it? No, I don't. And the reason I don't is because I know that they didn't know any better. They were simply doing exactly what was done to them as a child, how they were raised. And since that's so normalized, and since that's so widely still without people think it's so far gone. It's not. It's still very widely employed. And I just want to share with you that I think that there's a better way. I know that there's a better way. So I want to tell you when this epiphany came to me, and I've shared this before. Lennon is, let's take it back. She's, I can never remember the exact age, y'all. It's a fog, but 12, 15 months, right? She's crawling out of her bed. She's doing all these things. And this was really when I started to kind of question everything. And she crawled out of her bed for like what would have been, I don't know, 60th, 80th, 100th. It was exhausting. It was like 3:30 in the morning. I was tapped. Blake and I had been taking turns. It was his turn to sleep, my turn to put her back in the bed. And I tell you, when she came out, I just put her back in her bed and I swatted her. I swatted her and I said, don't you get out of the bed again. Okay. Now I just want to pick this apart for you. First off, when I swatted her, she had a diaper on, so I want to preface that. When I swatted her, I wasn't doing it with a beating sense, but do you want to know something? I swatted her because it was out of a last resort. I was so tired, so irritated, so angry. So it wasn't from this real teachable, let me help you learn place. It was like, I'm going to show you who's in charge and what you need to do. I want to preface this with, she is 12 to 15 months, or I don't know, 18 months in there, okay? But what you also have to realize is that when your children, when your tiny person is that young, you speaking to them is basically like them learning a foreign language. A lot of kids at that age are learning to talk. They don't know what you're saying to them. They don't understand it. And where is proof of this? Well, honestly, I took one child development class in college, and I really truly believe that instead of all these classes about how to change a diaper, hospitals ought to employ a child development class, because I think it's really important to understand where a psychological, where a physiological, where a mental, where an emotional, where a brain development standpoint is coming through here. Now, again, I'm not a professional on this. I'm not a child care professional. I'm not some science person who has all this info, but I can tell you from what I know and from conversations I've had and through my own healing that at that point, when I looked at London, I smacked her and I said, don't get out of your bed again. She had no freaking clue why I did that. And the reason I knew that was because she looked at me in a way that murdered my soul. I have never experienced in that moment looking at me with these eyes and sobbing at me because she was so confused. Why would you smack me? Why did you spank my butt? And Blake, being the spouse that he is and the different type of individual he is, from the next room goes, Amanda, you're tired. You need to tap out. I will take it. And he came in and he sent me to bed. And the next morning I woke up with this guilt, this confusion. Why did I do that? What led me to that? Yes, I was tired. Yes, I was exhausted. And yes, we get to the end of our rope, y'all. It happens. I am not a perfect parent. There are days I lose my temper. There are days, but as time has gone on, those days are far, far less than the days I don't and the days I make it through and the days we have a conversation. That comes with my children's age. That comes with me and my personal development. And that comes with all the things involved. So let's look at the idea of spanking. And I said this in the TikTok. When we talk about it, a lot of people want to say it's about respect, right? My child needs to understand the rules. Okay. So what is the motivation there? They need to understand. So by physically using physical, okay, like physical touch is what we'll just call it physical touch in this moment because it impacts that. By physically smacking them or hitting them or tapping them or flicking them or however you want to put it, what are you teaching them in that moment? Well, I will tell you what you're teaching them. You're teaching them, if you do this, it will cause pain. Now, is that teaching them not to do something in a quick, easy way? Sure. Is that giving them any understanding of why they shouldn't do that action? No, it's not. Is it giving them any understanding later down the road when you're not there and they want to do that action anyway? Is that going to stop them? Well, I can tell you from a child who was spanked, no. Now, is it going to cause a level of fear? Yes. People want to say, no, I'm not doing this for my child to be fearful. Well, I have news for you. The intent may not be to cause fear, but the impact is going to be exactly that. Because when you are usually spanking, swatting, flicking, doing any of those things to a child at that age where we do it, which is most when they can't communicate or when they're not of that developmental standpoint, it is going to cause fear, which is then going to teach them, I don't want them to find this out. The level of fear is going to cause a mistrust. Reason being is after I swatted London that time, newsflash, it didn't stop her from climbing out of her bed. But the next night, after a couple nights had gone by and she started doing it again, I had a different mindset. I said, no matter what I do in this moment, no matter how frustrated I get, I'm not going to swat her. But it did not stop her from when I walked in the room looking at me with fear in her eyes. And I will tell you, I swatted Lennon once, y'all, once. This was the first time I swatted her, but it did not change her reaction when I came in the room because I heard her crawling out of her bed and saw it on the monitor. She looked at me with these eyes like, uh-oh. Now, did she know why I was coming in there? Well, she might have. She might have known, uh-oh, I did this last time. But she didn't understand why. And frankly, at that moment, neither did I. Why was it so important for London to stay in her bed? Why? Why was that so important to me? You want to know why? Because I felt the judgment of other people and their opinions. And I want to kind of give you hopefully what I feel is a light bulb here. The reason a lot of times we employ spanking with children is because of ego and opinion. It is our own ego that when a small child, like Corey actually last week, straight up looked at me and screamed in my face. Now, she was having a moment, I will put it politely. And Blake looked at me and he goes, oh my gosh. He goes, Amanda, I have never wanted to, oh my goodness. Now, we don't swap the kids, okay? But it doesn't mean that in a moment we're not like, oh my gosh, this is just so frustrating, okay? Because we're human beings. And I looked at him and I go, I know, but what will it solve? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, what will this solve? What will this give you? And he looked at me and he's like, I know, it wouldn't solve anything. And I said, do you just need a moment? And he's like, yeah. So he went into the garage because at this moment I was in a place where I was like, I'm ready to tackle this. Because when my kids scream at me now, I don't take it personal. I don't look at them screaming at me as an act of defiance. I look at them screaming at me as a lack of understanding and a lack of tools to handle what they're feeling. And that's where you got to change the mindset. See, in order to help tiny people become big people who have empathy and emotion and can function, you've got to take your ego out of it. Taking your ego out of it is going to resolve a lot of the issues that you feel going in, because when a child screams in your face, yes, it might irritate you. But the first reaction, although you're like, oh, don't you dare scream in my face, it's ego. It's ego getting in there. But if you can stop yourself and say, hold on a second, wait a second, wait a second. They are doing this because they don't understand, or the emotion they have, they are incapable of expressing in another way. I can come in here and help. You have to start seeing them as a partner. Now, people want to be all like, oh, you're not your child's best friend. Okay, fine. You don't want to be their quote unquote best friend, whatever stigma that has attached to it. Fine. But you know what you can be? You can be their partner. You can be their teacher. You can be their helper. But what you don't need to be is an ego. Because an ego teaches nothing. An ego is self-focused. An ego says you are impacting me, and it's focused on how your reaction is. So actually, spanking your child is just you having a giant ego and needing them to stop whatever they're doing. Because I can tell you, it teaches them nothing. It doesn't give them the how and the why. It doesn't teach them for the future, and it doesn't lay the groundwork for the relationship you're going to want when they're a teen. I will tell you, my biggest goal, everything that I do with my tiny people at this age, and if I hadn't learned this when they were tiny people and been employing this, this would be my mindset going in. I want to lay the groundwork so when they're teens, they know they have a safe space, whether or not that's going to get a consequence. Now, people want to say, well, what's the consequence? How do you discipline your kids? Well, I've got a newsflash. Discipline and punishment and teaching, they don't all go hand in hand. The belief that you have to discipline a child to get a desired reaction, or they have to have a punishment to get a desired reaction. No. In some cases, sure. Let's take last week in the car, for example. We're in the car. I had brought one iPad because the girls had not had the iPads all week. They'd been busy with school. We had been practicing outdoor play. I had been putting my phone away and saying, okay, if I don't want them on their screens, I need to offer them other options, right? I have to make that sacrifice. I can't just look at them and be like, get off your screens and go do something, and then sit there on my phone. I mean, come on. It's such a hypocritical thing to do. And do I do it sometimes? Yeah, I do. Okay. I'll be on my phone. I'll be like, you guys need to go play. And then I'm sitting there thinking to myself, are you kidding me, Amanda? Get it together. No, I don't play with my children all the time, but I will offer them other options as often as possible. So here's the thing. We're in the car. I bring the iPad. I'm like, okay, Corey, you can play your game on the way down, but when your sissies get in the car, we're going to pick a movie, and we do like Magic School Bus, or like my girls love the movie Leap and that song Confident by Demi Lovato. It's like their theme song right now. So we're in the car and we're driving, and Corey does not want to show them the iPad. And all of a sudden she just starts going, ugh! And I look at her and I'm like, Corey, honey, I need you to use your words. And she just starts screaming at the top of her lungs in the car. Now, I want you to picture this. We are in a small mini, like, this is not even SUV, okay? This is a small compact car. Yes, it looks like a mini SUV, but I don't even know how they would call it. Like, I don't even know, like a crossover, I guess is the name of that term of the car. Anyways, so I safely, don't worry, red light, I take the iPad from her and I go, Corey, it seems that you're upset right now, so I'm going to hold this for you until you calm down and you're ready to use it the right way. Now, what is her quote unquote punishment in that moment? Well, I guess it'd be taking the iPad. Now, is my intent to be like, you can't play with this? Well, no, my intent is to tell her that if she can't play with it the right way and she can't utilize it in the right way that we had talked about, then we're not going to use it. Now, do I look at the other two in the mirror and say like, hey guys, we're going to do a moment here. Okay. Like let's try and work this out first. So I go, Corey, you cannot scream like that in the car. You are allowed to be upset, but screaming is not going to help mommy understand what's going on. She screamed again, y'all. Girlfriend screamed again at the top of her lungs. And I looked at her and I said, Corey, I understand you're mad. You cannot continue to scream because that is showing me you are not ready to play. When you're ready to... So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and this is the first time she did it, y'all, and this is what I've been working for, okay? I work for these moments. These are the moments I'm excited about. She yells, I'm so mad. And I go, oh, and London looks at her and Paige looks at her and I go, you're mad, aren't you, Corey? And in that moment, I am thrilled for her. Do you want to know why? Because that little queen picked out the emotion she was feeling. And she said it. She named it. I said, and Corey, you're mad. Way to go. You said you're mad. The smile comes across her face. I go, tell me why you're mad. I don't want to watch that show. I said, I hear you, Corey. You don't want to watch that show. Can we ask sissies if we can watch another show? And she goes, okay. And I go, all right. Well, until we pick the other show, mommy's going to hold on to this. Then I told Lennon and Paige, I said, girls, can we pick a show together? And they picked a show together. Now, if I had taken the iPad from Corey, pulled across, and I'll tell you, pulled over on the side of the road, which happened to me as a kid, and swatted her, I would have told her, we don't scream. But I wouldn't have helped her to discover what she was feeling. Because what you're going to continue to get when you employ that is someone that will do what you want, but doesn't know why they're doing what they're doing. And even if they're using screaming as a frustration tactic, you want to be more concerned about why they're using that tactic instead of these other ones. Because really, it's our choice to develop and our option and our gift to develop kids to figure out what they're feeling so then they can express it to you so then you can help them with it. Being able to identify emotions is one of the biggest unlocks you will ever give anyone in your life. When you have a friend who's yelling at you and you've done literally nothing wrong, if you can take out your ego in that moment and say, you're yelling at me and I don't know why, do you understand why you're yelling at me? And you can ask your friend, I don't think you're angry at me. What is going on? Even last night, Corey was having a moment again because girlfriend is three, okay? She's developing. And she was really, and I said, are you frustrated? And she's, no, I'm sad. And I said, I thought you were mad. No, I'm sad. I don't want to go to bed yet. I want to play. I said, girl, me too. I honestly don't want to go downstairs and do the dishes. It makes me sad. I'd rather sit here all day. But you know what we're going to do in the morning? I'm going to set this toy right here. You see me? I'm putting this toy right here for you. It's not going to leave your room tonight. And when you wake up in the morning, it will be the first thing you get to grab. I will make sure that, don't worry, it's not going to be a party without you. Because so often when we can take out our ego and you can see that your kids are not born ready with skills. They don't know what anger and sad and happy is. They are taught that. They are also taught the definition of those emotions, whether they're okay to express or they're bad. And the number one rule in our house, the funky throwdown rule, is there is no emotion that is bad. There is only what you do with it that makes it good or bad. And that has to do a lot with ego. The other thing that a lot of people employ, and someone went at me in the comments and I politely told her, if my account is bringing you no joy, please unfollow. And y'all, I was proud of this person because they unfollowed me and I was happy about it. I was not even worried about it. And the reason being is there are some accounts you don't need to follow. And if my account is ever putting you in a spot that is not great, I implore you to find someone that will bring you the joy you need. But she said, I would never let my child, she said, this lady lets her kid lay down in a grocery store and scream. It's so inconsiderate of others. And I messaged her back on the comments, which I don't usually do because I know it brings no goodness in getting involved in comment back and forth. But I said, my concern is not about what other people are doing. My concern is about my tiny person. And I don't mean to sound inconsiderate. Now, do I want my child screaming in a restaurant? Absolutely not. Okay. But if my child is screaming in a restaurant, there is a reason that we have gotten to this point. There is a reason that I need to employ a different tactic and I need to switch it up. I need to do something else. But in that moment, if I let other people's opinions be the motivation, do you know what it ties back to? It ties back to my ego. It ties back to being concerned about what other people think of me. And in a world where we currently are encouraging everyone to do their joy, be their joy, and not worry about other people's opinions, why are we plaguing our children with that? You should be so embarrassed right now. Everyone is staring at you. We're literally laying the groundwork for them worrying about everybody else. You want to set your child free to be who they are? Then quit employing other people's opinions to get the desired behavior reaction. So then you might be looking at me, okay, Amanda, well, what am I supposed to do? I have a one-year-old that thinks it's funny when they jump off the couch and that's dangerous. Well, first I will tell you that a one-year-old doesn't have a lot of development in terms of what they understand. So they think it's funny because they think it's funny. It's not meant to be this aggressive, I'm going to do this because I think it's funny and I'm not listening. It's, I don't have the development. So when my kids, okay, would do that kind of thing, I would go, oh no, 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 we don't do that. Look. And I would show them physically, here's what can happen. Oh no, oh no. And if they did it again, I'd say, it doesn't look like you're ready to, this is what we do. We sit in the chair. Would you like to jump? Let mommy get you something you can jump on. And let me just be real with y'all. This type of parenting is exhausting. This style of parenting, it is draining. And the reason it is because it requires so much engagement, so much alternative. Instead of seeing a child jumping on a couch as disrespectful, I say, it looks like you want to jump right now. We don't jump on furniture. We sit in furniture. We could hurt ourselves. I don't want you to get hurt. Let's go jump outside. Here's a pillow on the ground you can jump on. It's offering alternatives. Say your child is screaming in your face, right? They're angry about the toy. I'm angry about the toy too, but you know what? We can't take the toy. Can we say bye to the toy? I'll let you walk around with it for 5 minutes. And then when I take it, I've talked about how Corey still screamed. You know what? Let's go find a place where you can calm down. Because you cannot hold them to a higher standard than you hold them yourself. For me, I've been on this earth almost 35 years. If I lay down screaming in a store aisle, that is on me. I know that that's not how I express emotion, right? But what do I do instead as an adult? What is the equivalent of screaming? I'll call my girlfriend and I will literally holler to her. I am so irritated right now. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, right? So that's me. That's me. Me calling my girlfriend and venting to her on the phone or venting to my husband or going in my closet and crying. Those are all ways that I am having my target moment on the floor screaming. But do you want to know what? I have the tools to figure out ways that I can still do that. And our kids don't. They don't have that. And when you employ spanking, what it's doing is it's giving you a cause and reaction. But what it's teaching them is a trauma reaction. And I don't want people to think that I'm saying if you've hit your kid before, right, they're screwed for life and they have all this trauma memory. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But when people want to say, well, I'm not beating my child. I'm sorry, is there a level of hitting that should be acceptable? You tell me. If you're out to dinner with a girlfriend and her significant other looks over at her and slaps her, but he does it real light and he doesn't hit her repeatedly at the table, but he slaps her and he goes, don't do that in public. You're embarrassing yourself. All these people are staring at you. Oh my gosh. I would physically want to do something to this person, right? I would want to be like, yo, dude, you're out of line. Absolutely not. I call the cops on you. Is he doing this to you regularly? Well, you know what? He only hits me once every so often. He's not beating me though. You guys, come on. With all the tools we have in the year 2020, I can't understand how we have people who are literally marching in the streets for animal care and animal activism, yet in the same breath, if you're going to do that, you're justifying swatting a kid on occasion or smacking a kid. If you saw someone hit their dog at a dog park, like full on co-cock him, what would you do? You would be appalled that someone would hit a dog. Well, dogs don't understand. Neither do children. Neither do kids. And you are too good of a parent and a person and a sister or a brother or a nanny or a friend to let someone in your life do that. You're too good for that. You are so awesome. And your tiny people are so amazing. You can give them so many other tools. But I've been there. Because I was the kid who had Patsy Paddle, okay? I was the kid whose parents snapped the belt. No, my parents didn't beat me, okay? And do we all feel the need to justify that when we talk about it? Oh my gosh, the amount of like, well, I still love my parents. I do. And I do. I still love my parents. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I had the belt smack and I had the Patsy Paddle. So when I did that as an auto setting, I call it our default setting, right? It's our default setting because it's what we were raised with. And if no one is telling us different, if everyone in our family is like, well, you were spanked as a kid and it didn't hurt you. It did great things for you, right? You're good. There's no emotional trauma there. There's no relational issues. There's no mistrust issues. There's no, you know, but because we can't physically see what we're doing, right? We can say it's all right. And I'm not saying that you're a horrible person if you have spanked someone. Like I said, when I swatted, spanked, whatever you want to call it, London, when she was between 12 and 18 months old, I just was doing what was totally normal. Very widely accepted because in my family, that's how I grew up. So did my cousins, right? But people are going to disagree with you on this. They're going to think you're soft. Someone told me, wow, she's going to raise little shitheads. Well, I've got news for you. I am not raising little shitheads. But if that's your opinion of not smacking a child, sure. Think my kids are going to be shitheads. I'm fine with it. I'm far less concerned about what your opinion of my children is versus the person who spends time with them as human beings. You have got to humanize your kids. We have got to quit from the moment they are born. Do you like being boxed? Let's just start here. Do you like being boxed in every box as a mom? How often as moms do we say, I want my own identity? I'm so tired of people thinking a shower or going to the grocery store is self-care, right? We don't want to be placed in that box. So why are we placing our children in it? You have got to quit seeing, and we have got to quit seeing, and I daily have to remind myself to quit seeing my children as children and see them as tiny people. The amount of studies that say that parents don't actually view their children as humans is kind of staggering. And no, I don't mean that you treat your child like a second-class citizen. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when you start to view them as tiny human beings who have no knowledge, none, and you quit assuming that because you know they shouldn't act like that, they should know too, and you quit thinking that one interaction is going to be the interaction that changes it all, y'all, Corey, for the first time yesterday, no, this week, it was this week, verbalized, I'm mad in the car. And then a couple days later said, I'm frustrated or I'm sad instead of frustrated. And that has been through days and weeks of screaming. She bit, she slapped, she did it all. And I would take her little hands and go, hands are for hugs and high fives. We don't hit. And she slapped me again, y'all. And I would look at her and I'd say, Corey, it looks like right now you're not ready to play with your hands. Is there something I can give you to hold? Do you need a hug? And people want to say that's soft, but it's not. And do you want to know why? Because that child doesn't bite now and that little tiny person doesn't smack. And this week she verbalized, I'm mad and I'm sad because I am working long term here. And every day when my kids say something and it sounds disrespectful, like yesterday, I said something to London and she goes, oh, and the tone, y'all. Oh my gosh, the tone. The tone was like, oh, well, okay. And I said, London, honey, do you hear yourself? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, I don't know. Were you in that moment meaning to be disrespectful? And she looked at me like, what? No. And I said, your tone in that moment sounded disrespectful. Is there something you need to say? And she goes, I'm frustrated. I said, that's what I'm hearing in your tone, frustrated. But you still need to know when you talk to mommy, just like I try to be kind to you with my words, I need you to be kind because when you talk to me like that, it makes me not want to be helpful. These conversations you can have with your kids, they can happen. They can be open. The conversations with people, if you start with questions and you remove your ego and your need to be right or your need to feel quote unquote respected and you stop seeing everything a tiny little one-year-old to five-year-old to seven-year-old, if you quit seeing these things as disrespectful and you start seeing them as a lack of tools and as an inability to express it or as an unawareness, and you start asking the questions, do you hear how you sound? Not, do you hear how you sound right now? You are so rude, but saying, do you mean to sound disrespectful right now? I'm passionate about this topic, and I'm getting more passionate about it because the topic that I'm passionate about is humanizing your kids. They're people. Do you like stereotypes? No. So it probably means that neither do the tiny people in your life. And when I say tiny people, I mean everybody. Would you like if every time you had an emotion, someone was like, wow, you're so angry. And you're like, I'm not mad right now. I'm just frustrated. And they're like, okay. And they patronize you. Sure, you're not mad. I'm sure you're not mad. And you're like, I'm literally not mad, but you telling me I'm mad is now making me mad. It's the same thing. And if you think back to things as a child or a tiny person that you didn't love, why are we employing the same methods? Why? Did it benefit you? Someone also commented, they said, well, you know what? I was really sassy and disrespectful and I needed to be slapped. And I thought, oh my gosh, but why were you sassy and disrespectful? What is the driving force for that action? Now, is that excusing bad behavior? Let's talk about this when I talk about bad behavior. Is that excusing someone intentionally being rude or trying to gaslight you? No, I'm not talking about in relationships when you're dealing with like a narcissist, okay? And that is a very clear line. I'm talking about when you're dealing with little people. Because spanking is employed when we have an ego in the moment and when we have an opinion in that moment, other people's opinions. And I will tell you, it is really hard, especially with family, to do something different. But that is why the book that I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, Boundaries by Clown and Townsend, is going to be life-giving for you. Because do you know what you are doing? When you lay a boundary and when your aunt or your uncle or your mother or your father or your mother-in-law or your brother-in-law or your best friend looks at you and is like, oh, you're going to raise an asshole. Oh, your child's going to not respect you at all. You can look at them and say, okay, well, you already raised me. You were a parent, and now it's my turn. And if they want to keep on keeping on, you can lay another boundary on that. And is it a pick your battle moment? Yeah, there are some pick your battle moments. My kids go to Nana's. They go to great grandma's. They're going to get ice cream. They're going to get a lot of ice cream. Is that a battle I'm going to pick? No, it's not. They're not going to be hurt by the ice cream. It's fine. It's Nana's, right? But am I going to let someone else physically raise a hand to my child? No, that's a boundary. That's not how I'm raising them. And if we can't all, just like I do with my children, if you can not play with this toy nicely, we might need to take a break. Would you like a different toy to play with? It looks like you want to hit something. Can I give you some ice outside to throw? When my kids are really angry, you know what I will do? I will go to the freezer. I will grab them some ice and I will say, go chuck it outside. Would you like a pillow to hit? Would you like we have a punching bag in our garage. My husband loves it. You know, he boxes or whatever. Would you like to go hit the punching bag? Do you need to get that emotion out? Because you are allowed to express that. You just need to find a better way to do it. And yelling at me or raising your hand to me is not one of them. So if I'm telling them these behaviors are unacceptable, why would I employ that to use it as discipline or punishment? Don't hit people. Okay, but only when they deserve it. Only when they deserve it. So what I do is the same thing with adults. If you cannot respect the boundaries that are employed with the way that I have my tiny human, then I can see that maybe you're not ready to spend time with them. Can I give you some of the other resources that I've utilized that are helpful? When you're angry at your child, if they're having a meltdown, walk away in your home. Give yourself a moment. And if you're like, I have nowhere to walk away to, you know, I have a child in the home. Okay. Then go sit quiet, you know, go sit in the bathroom for a minute. Take that other kid into the bathroom with you. Say, I have to pee. Will you come with me? And let the other child sit there. Because if you're going to react in anger, it is not going to help. And that is the knee-jerk reaction. And I get it. It has been so long to not react in anger, and it's not perfect. There are days that I'm like, I need you guys to be quiet. Like, and I lose it, right? I'm human. So then I go and I apologize and I tell them I was wrong and I tell them why I was wrong. And I ask them, what could I have done better, guys? You want to know why? Because I want to see what they're retaining. Can they tell that I was out of line? I hope they can. Can they help me with tools? Guys, what should mommy do next time? Because you're all learning together. You've never been a parent. You've only been parented. Let's say it again. You've never been a parent. You've only been parented. So you are learning. Your child has never been a child before. So why will we hold them to these standards of this knowledge, of this behavior? And what is defined as bad behavior? So my child is upset about the toy. Am I going to help them eventually get to a place where we're not screaming in the line at Target? Yeah, I am.
And the reason that I know that is I have a 7.5-year-old and I have a 3-year-old and I have a 5-year-old and I can see progression at every single age. But I am way more concerned with their emotional progression than I am my ego or other people's opinions. And when people talk about parenting being hard, yeah, the lack of sleep is hard some days, okay? Yeah, it is hard some days to do other things. But every day I choose to lay down my ego in a moment, I count it as probably the hardest thing to do because I want to say it reflects on me, but that's actually self-absorbed. But I count it as a win because the more I'm able to lay down my ego and the other people's opinions, the more free I become as an individual. The reason I'm more happy and healthy and confident with myself and can say these things and walk away from things that don't suit me is because I've spent so much time laying down my ego and disregarding other people's opinions when I know that my goal is not for my kids to be consumed with what other people think of them and so they act the right way, yet they have no tools. It's to give them the tools so when someone has an opinion of them, it's not going to impact them in the way it impacted me. It's not going to send them into a depression. It's not going to give them an eating disorder. It's not going to want them to self-harm. It's not going to want them to overdrink to the point where they're making themselves sick because they can't handle the emotion they're feeling. It's going to teach them that therapy is okay. I want to give them the tools for life that are going to help them navigate life when it gets really hard, when the hardest thing isn't the toy and Target, when the hardest thing is betrayal. And people say, your kids are going to suffer in this world because you're making them soft by teaching them empathy. But I'm not. Do you guys follow Chris and Ian on TikTok? If you do, Ian is the way he speaks, the way he does stuff. That's what I'm working for with my children. That is how I want them to enter into a relationship and then help the person that they're with. Because if I raise little people with tools and I give them empathy as one of the strongest things so they can put themselves in other people's shoes, and I teach them that their ego doesn't have to define them, and I teach them that other people's opinions don't have to define them, hopefully I'm going to raise a lot of kids that want to help other people to equip them with those tools that can identify that need, that don't have to be right and take everything personal, but can say, oh, actually, you know what? Hold on a second. I see in this moment what you're needing. I see in this moment, this actually doesn't have anything to do with me. And I just don't think spanking is your best tool. So what can you do in these moments? You can tell small children like this, hey, we don't jump on that. Let me get you a place to jump. Offer them an alternative. There are an endless amount of resources online that you can just type in, what are other things to do to teach my children than spank on Google, right? I mean, super easy. There are community centers that offer classes. And if you feel like the spanking or that is driven by something else, there are a ton of therapeutic ways and things you can do, whether it's therapy or things like that to help you heal yourself. Because a lot of our parenting comes from being parented and the trauma that that comes with and the lens that that comes with. But our kids are going to be victims to our jaded lens and victims to our trauma if we don't find other solutions. They're going to be victims to our trauma if the main thing we're concerned with is them listening to you and doing what you say. Now, how can you prevent safety? Yeah, running into a street, super dangerous, 100% dangerous. You don't want that. So what do? You yell. You say you can't run in the street. You stay outside when they're running in the street. And yes, there are accidents, right? There are things that have happened. A child runs after a Frisbee, right? But that also has to do with their development and the cause and reaction. Smacking them is not going to stop that instant thought. But showing them, oh my gosh, look, don't do this. Hey, if you want to play with the Frisbee, let's play in the backyard. We have to be willing to find other solutions and not just employing the fear tactic of, well, if they run into the street. No. Now, if my kid goes to stick a fork in a socket, am I going to smack that fork out? Like, oh, not the fork in that moment. 100%. Do I need to spank them? No, I can smack the fork out of their hand. And then I can come to them and I can say, hey, because what you don't realize that spanking is doing in that moment is it might be giving you the desired result of them not doing that behavior again, but it's actually demeaning the trust. The discipline is demeaning the trust they will have. The discipline is demeaning their comfort level with you and their acceptance level. And you don't see it happening because they're so little. They're so little, you don't see that your intent has a greater impact. So when you think of your tiny people, think of that relationship that you're working for. Think of if they're in high school and they're illegally drinking under the drinking age and they get tossed and soused, instead of them thinking, oh my God, if I drive home and my mom catches me, she's going to literally beat the living daylights out of me or she's going to XYZ. No, 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 no. Work for the relationship where they call you and say, Mom, I messed up. I'm drunk, but I don't want to drive. And then you get there and you tell them, here is what could have happened. What was this driven by? Why were you doing this? And talk to them, ask questions. Does that mean they might lose privileges? Yeah. Does the loss of privilege have to be so big to inflict? No. Can you say, hey, I feel like with this choice right now, you're not showing me that I can trust this and I want to trust you. So we're going to come up with a plan here. And you know what? Maybe you're not going to do this or maybe you're not going to do that for a little bit of time, but you're going to do this with me. We're going to come to this decision together. I let my kids pick what happens in the moment. Hey, you know what? It looks like you can't play with this toy right now. Do you want to go sit and calm down? Or do you want to just lose the toy for the day? What's your preference? And I want to sit and calm down. Okay, they come out. Okay, I need you to play with the toy the right way. There's a right way to play with this toy. Or if they're throwing the toy or hitting it, do you need a xylophone to smack? Do you need to go throw some ice? Do you need a different toy? And this journey of parenting or being in relationship in this way is not for the faint of heart. It's exhausting. But I can tell you, looking at London, who folded the laundry for me last week, looking at London, who saw me lose my cool this week and looked at her and said, Mom, I think you're upset right now and you need a minute. Why don't you go calm down? My 7.5-year-old looked at me and said that, then took her sisters in the other room and got them pretzels. You can do that. Even if your kid is 7 right now and you're not there, you can do it. You can start over the relationship at any point. Even if your kid is in college and you did all these things that now you're thinking, oh, I would have wanted to do it differently, you can still go to them and say, I'm sorry I messed up. What can I do? I want to repair this. There is never too late of a moment. The only moment is that it's too late is when you quit trying. And so this episode was important to me. This episode means a lot to me. Because you have to start seeing the world has to start seeing our kids as individuals. And we have to stop seeing their opposition as defiance. A difference of opinion is not defiance. It's why the world is the way it is right now. It's why everyone's so angry. We have to start teaching our kids that kindness can be employed. And if my child looks at me and says, I don't want to eat broccoli, instead of me going, oh, well, you're going to eat all your vegetables right now, I could say, well, okay, why don't you want to eat the broccoli? Oh, I actually don't like broccoli. Okay, well, can we find a vegetable you like? Because I really would like you to eat some good fuel because it's going to give you what you need to get through the day. Oh, okay, yeah. It doesn't have to reflect on you. And I have to remind myself of that in my marital relationship. If I am guilty of that in any relationship, it's my marital one where Blake could be like, oh, hey, did we not get the dishes done last night? And he's literally asking me because he's like, oh, let me help. And I'm like, how dare you say we didn't get the dishes done last night? Do you know what I have going on? Do you know how much I'm dealing with right now? That is where I do that. Excuse me. That is a relationship I do that in. I might not do it with my kids very often, but I will tell you what, poor Blake, he has to look at me and be like, Amanda, take a minute. That's not what I meant. I was asking to know. Did my tone sound weird? And you have to be okay with asking, oh, did my tone sound weird when I did that? Do you hear how you said that? Actually, how that made me feel, not you did this, this made me feel this way when you said it. So then Blake will be like, oh, do you need help with the dishes? We didn't get them done last night. And I'm like, oh, okay, that feels less aggressive to me. That feels less accusatory to me. And we have to be okay with doing that because it helps. So that is this episode. I am getting ready to go on a live with one of my favorite people actually on the Stereo app right now, Mr. Chaz. And so I'm excited to do that with him and all the stuff. So I'm going to leave you with the fact that I hope this encouraged you today. I hope this gave you a different thought. And I hope it allowed you to see that
we have other options. We can do other things. And even if it doesn't feel that way and you're like, I don't know where to start, the best way to start is just start. It's not going to be perfect. It might be messy. It's going to be imperfect. And that's just the way it is. But at least we can start today. Try something different today. So I appreciate you being here for riding the high and low tide of emotion and for realizing that if we humanize our tiny people, we can see that if we saw a friend getting hit by somebody, we would think it was wrong, especially if they said, well, they were being disrespectful. Well, they dropped the coffee. Well, that's not how I like the dishes loaded. Oh, that's not what I want for dinner. You know what I mean? So if no one has told you lately, you are important, you are valued, you matter, you have exponential potential, and you are loved. And more than anything, I'm grateful you're here. This is probably my longest episode, so I don't know what the listening retention on this will be. But if you stayed till the end, God bless your little sweet soul. I love you. And now I'm going to go finish some things I need to do and upload the podcast. So happy Friday. And as always, thank you for just being you.